This is Ken MacLeod. Thousands of people around the world listen to these podcasts every week, just as you are doing now. If you find them helpful, please make a donation at unfetteredmind.org/donate. Your generosity helps us maintain and expand the website for the benefit of yourself and other practitioners worldwide. Thank you, and enjoy this podcast.
Unfettered Mind, the nuts and bolts of conflict.
Now, necessarily, if you are in presence, attuned to balance, clear about your boundaries and the obligations they involve, and have the courage to stand there, you're going to experience conflict. The conflict may be, apparently, with something outside, but in fact the conflict is always with something inside. So it's good to know something about how to work with conflict. Some of you are familiar with this, but a review won't hurt you. One of the ways to work with conflict is through the four stages of conflict, which are based on Vajrayana principles of awakened activity. I'm grateful to Trungpa Rinpoche for an article that he wrote back in the early 70s, Garuda. The four awakened activities are pacifying, enriching, magnetizing, and destruction. These are the four stages of conflict. Magnetization. In pacification, you seek to resolve the conflict by utilizing the resources that are already at hand. An apology, opening the door for someone, standing out of the way. Giving the other person space to do what they want. These are all forms of pacification. When you use pacification to resolve a conflict, you build relationship. If that doesn't work, then the next level comes into play, and that's enrichment. Enrichment means to resolve the conflict by bringing in additional resources. Bribery. Training. Education. A facilitator, a mediator. All of these are forms of enrichment. There are many more, of course. I'm just mentioning a few. enrichment can lead to connection, but it's not as solid as a connection. It's a different kind of relationship from what comes from, through pacification. So you bribe an official to let you on a train in India. It happens all the time. Well, you have a certain relationship with that official, but it has its limits. When you can't resolve the conflict by enrichment, you move to magnetization. Magnetization is to use your own personal power to resolve the conflict. That may be done through challenge, intimidation, threat, withholding cooperation. Boycotts are an example of magnetization. One of the ways that I like to approach magnetization personally is to become a spokesperson for the situation itself. That takes the personality out of it. This is just what's going to happen. And it avoids, in many cases, a sense of you against me. It can be more productive. But if there's no response to magnetization, then you move to destruction. And destruction means destroying the situation in which the conflict arises, which can mean removing yourself from the situation, destroying the other person, or destroying what the conflict's about. Parents use this all the time when their children are fighting. They're fighting over a toy, they take away the toy. That's destruction. No, it's destroying the situation in which the conflict arises. Now later, in this retreat, we're going to go through methods of destruction. But one of the things you need to understand is that when you enter into conflict, you do not determine to what level the conflict goes. Your opponent does. The other party does. All you are doing is defending a boundary. You're maintaining balance. You see what is necessary. We are making the assumption that you're coming out of awareness here and not out of pattern. You see what is necessary, and you're willing to stand there even if it involves killing or dying. That's the definition of boundary. It is the other party that determines what happens. You do not control the course of the conflict. My martial arts teacher likes to drive this home in a rather graphic set of phrases that he has. Why would I kill you if I can maim you? Why would I maim you if I could just injure you? Why would I injure you if I can just embarrass you? Why would I embarrass you if I can walk away? But if you don't let me walk away, I will embarrass you. And if you don't stop when I embarrass you, I will injure you. And if you don't stop when I injure you, I will maim you. And so forth. You do not control the course of the conflict. And so many people enter into a conflict and find themselves at the point of killing or dying, not necessarily literally. It may be that their job is on the line. That's dying in the business world. You get fired, or somebody else gets fired. Or it may mean the end of the relationship, That's the death of the relationship. These are all different forms of killing or dying. And they wonder how they got there. So it's very important when you enter a conflict, are you willing to go to that end? If you're not, you have no business being there.
Kanisha in Toronto, Canada asks, how do I work with the tendency to marginalize my feelings in uncomfortable situations? More specifically, I have a very difficult coworker, and none of my coping techniques are really helping. This person unintentionally hurts my feelings when she speaks to me. She can be harsh, sarcastic, and belittling, like saying, "You're too young to understand." And she abruptly cuts me off without giving me a chance to express myself. The way I've been dealing with it is to tell myself not to worry. It's okay. I'm just sensitive. She suffers greatly to be acting this way. Of course, this doesn't work. Nor does trying to avoid her, since we're on the same project. More recently, since I don't know what to do about it, I've been bringing compassion to the sadness and anger that arise. I often shut down when I'm around her, and I'm scared to confront her. This tendency shows up in other places, too. I avoid conflict and confrontation. However, I need to take better care of myself. What do you suggest?
There's no silver bullet or quick solution here. You've got a couple of things going on. One is you have a difficult coworker. And the other is you have your own tendency to avoid conflict and confrontation. And the combination makes life a little difficult for you right now. So in terms of working so that you are more able to meet a conflict and confrontation effectively, what you could do, one possibility is sometimes in your meditation period, recall uncomfortable situations where there's been some conflict or confrontation. And when you recall the situation, you just imagine it, pay attention to what arises in your body. Now, it'll only be an echo of what arises in actual life, but it's sufficient to work with. So you imagine this confrontation and you feel the echo in your body of the physical sensations, and just breathe, experiencing them. As you do this over a period of time, you'll begin to sense the emotions that go with that, the emotions that cause you to run away from or avoid these unpleasant situations. And as you keep opening to the emotions, staying present in your body, little by little, your relationship with all of that will change, and it'll change from being something you feel you can't experience to becoming something that you know you can experience because you're experiencing in your meditation period. At the same time, you're going to have lots of stories flying through your head. As long as you recognize them as stories, that's not a problem. But when you get lost in them, then you're just lost in thought. So then as soon as you recognize that, you come back to the body, go through the whole process again. Now, as you do this over a period of time, you're going to find yourself more able to stay, to meet these situations and not shut down the way you are, or as you put it, to marginalize your feelings. And as you do this, you'll probably find other ways to express things. What I think is important here is you allow these abilities to develop naturally. You don't just try to act as if you had them, because
what happens then is that how you're acting is out of sync with how your body is behaving and how you are in your body. And that creates problems. As you develop the ability to stay right present in your body in difficult situations, then you will many times naturally find the way to voice what you're feeling in a way that the other person can hear. And what makes the difference here is the quality of presence in your body. It just gives a different tone to your speech, and the other person is more likely to listen and pay attention. I'm not going to say this works 100% of the time, but it works. But it does work, or it's an ability that people do develop over time. There are also some skills that you can develop about how to express things. That's more difficult to go into in these unfettered questions. But you could sit down and talk with people and learn people such as nonviolent communication, insight dialogue. There are a number of techniques of being able to express things clearly and succinctly in a way that don't arouse other people's reactions, but do take care of yourself.
Anne in New Zealand asks, in your workshop, Living Awake in Relationship and Conflict, you talked about four stages of conflict resolution called pacification, enrichment, magnetization, and destruction. In magnetization, you use personal energy to compel a resolution. You mentioned that there were all kinds of possibilities at the level of magnetization, not all of them confrontational, but the way it works still eludes me. A magnet evokes an image of strong attraction or repulsion. Can you explain this further with examples of how one's personal energy can be used to compel resolution of a conflict?
At the stage of magnetization, there are different ways of approaching the conflict. One's already tried to resolve the conflict using the resources at hand. That's pacification. You've tried to resolve the conflict by bringing in additional resources, whether that's money or time or training or facilitation, what have you. And that hasn't worked. Well, one way is to win the person over to your side, to charm them or seduce them so that they. And that is using your personal energy to charm them. And there's not actually confrontation involved in that. You turn on the juice and see what happens. That's one possibility. Another possibility is to let the situation speak for you. So you don't try to convince them of anything. You just say, well, let's just take a look at the situation. A is going to happen, B is going to happen, C is going to happen. And when they look at A, B, and C, they may not like what they see. And so they change their position with respect to the conflict. So, again, that doesn't necessarily require confrontation. It does require the ability to see clearly and articulate exactly how things are going to play out in a way that the other person understands and appreciates. So there's a couple of ways. And I think that's probably enough.
Mind retains all rights to these podcasts. If you wish to use part or a whole podcast, please send an email to podcasts@unfetteredmind.org.